Chapter 15. Diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis. In the United States, the childhood immunization schedule began in 1948 when the American Academy of Pediatrics recommended that all children receive a combined diphtheria, pertussis, and tetanus, DPT, shot. Tetanus is a non-contagious infection caused when the common Clostridium tetani bacterium infects a wound such as a cut or puncture. After entering the body, bacterial spores release a potent exotoxin that causes severe, painful muscle spasms that often start in the jaw. Hence, the disease's common name, lockjaw, and then radiate down to the abdomen. Deriving its name from the ancient Greek word for tension, in severe cases, the exotoxin can induce a state of severe hyperextension and spasticity in which the victim's head, neck, and spinal column form a continuous arching position. Historically, tetanus posed a special threat to combat soldiers from dirty wounds and unsterilized surgical instruments. During the American Civil War, the incidence of tetanus is estimated to have been around 1 in every 500 wounded soldiers. During World War I, many wounded soldiers were treated with tetanus antitoxin, that is, serum harvested from horses inoculated with tetanus toxin. Though the antitoxin is said to have saved thousands of lives, its value was partly offset by severe allergic reactions, including anaphylactic shock suffered by hundreds of soldiers who received the therapy. In 1924, the first tetanus toxoid was produced by applying heat and formaldehyde to tetanus toxin. In 1938, the first tetanus toxoid vaccine became commercially available in the United States and was used to immunize U.S. soldiers during World War II. In developed countries, such as the United States, tetanus was already a rare disease, about 500 annual cases nationwide, in the years prior to the beginning of the mass vaccination campaign in 1948. The late 40s and 50s were a time of increasing prosperity in the United States. By the mid-50s, even children in poor rural regions regularly wore shoes, which reduced the incidence of dirty puncture wounds to the feet. Better wound care with the widespread availability of clean, warm water and soap also reduced tetanus in the U.S. and other developed nations. In the underdeveloped world, especially in the tropics, tetanus remained more common from lack of shoes and inadequate wound care. The disease presents a significant risk to mothers and infants when deliveries are performed in unsanitary conditions, with unsterilized instruments used to cut the umbilical cord and lack of proper antiseptic treatment of the cord stump. The incidence of tetanus was notably high among residents of the Indonesian province of Banda Aceh when it was struck by the 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami. In the wake of the disaster, many who suffered wounds were left with no medical treatment facilities or even clean water and soap. Tetanus vaccine coverage in the province was low, and 106 cases of tetanus were reported during the month following the catastrophe. Though a rare illness, tetanus is terribly painful, difficult to treat, and has a high case fatality rate, around 15%. Tetanus spores are more resistant to soap and antiseptics than other common bacteria and less responsive to antibiotic therapy. Thus, safe and effective immunization against tetanus is desirable. According to the CDC, while a single dose of tetanus toxoid is probably insufficient to protect a person from infection, three doses should induce vaccine-acquired blood antibody levels high enough to provide protection in nearly all people. However, no randomized control studies, considered the gold standard for demonstrating efficacy, of the tetanus toxoid shot have ever been completed. And so, while the incidence of tetanus in the United States has continued to decline from around 500 in 1947 to 28 cases in 2022, it's not clear that tetanus vaccines were the primary cause. Better hygiene and wound care, plus safer workplace practices in the construction, agriculture, metal processing, and waste management industries may deserve more credit for this favorable trend. This being the case, the purported benefit of the tetanus vaccine should be weighed against the risk of severe side effects. However, because tetanus vaccine toxoid has, since 1948, been combined with diphtheria and pertussis vaccines, or with only diphtheria in DT boosters, it is difficult, if not impossible, to know the safety record of the tetanus shot by itself. Diphtheria is a contagious illness caused by the Corynebacterium diphtheria bacterium, which secretes an exotoxin that inflames the nose, throat, and trachea. The disease gets its name, Greek, diphthera, skin, hide, from the characteristic formation of a pseudomembrane in the throat that impedes breathing and swallowing. In severe cases, the exotoxin may cause heart and nerve damage. A diphtheria toxoid shot became commercially available in the United States in the 1940s, but it wasn't nationally recommended for all children until 1948, when it was combined with the tetanus toxoid and pertussis vaccine. However, by then, the incidence of diphtheria in the U.S. had already fallen precipitously from its 20th century peak, in 1921, of 206,000 reported cases, resulting in 15,520 deaths. Diphtheria mortality was reduced by the improvement of living standards and the availability of penicillin, starting in 1945, and erythromycin, a macrolide antibiotic that was discovered in 1952. Diphtheria is strongly associated with poor living conditions, especially inadequate diet and hygiene. In his memoirs, titled The Story of San Michele, the Swedish physician, Axel Munthe, described a diphtheria outbreak among the children of impoverished Italian immigrants in the Montparnasse neighborhood of Paris in the early 1880s. The outbreak did not spread to the city's affluent neighborhoods. Germany suffered notable diphtheria outbreaks during World War II when its civilian populace suffered food and water shortages and was frequently crowded into bomb shelters. During the 1990s, following the dissolution of the Soviet Union, notable diphtheria outbreaks occurred among vaccinated populations in Belarus and Russia that were suffering from poor nutrition and high rates of alcoholism. This was consistent with a 1972 to 1975 outbreak among the largely vaccinated residents of the Skid Row neighborhood of Seattle, who suffered from high rates of alcoholism and poor nutrition. Recent outbreaks have also occurred in refugee camps with poor nutrition and hygiene. Thus, the elevation of living standards may play a more decisive role than vaccines in reducing diphtheria morbidity and mortality. Pertussis, from Latin extreme cough or whooping cough, only infects humans and does not seem to have an ancient lineage. What appears to be the first reported pertussis outbreak was described by Guillaume de Bayeux, Ballonius, in Paris in 1578. The causative agent, Bordetella pertussis bacteria, was first isolated in 1906 by Jules Bordet and Octave Jean Gould. Whooping cough bacteria adhere to the cilia lining part of the upper respiratory tract and release toxins that damage the cilia and cause swelling in the airway passages. The illness primarily affects children and is characterized by convulsive coughs followed by a whooping sound. Death due to pertussis is rare in patients over the age of 6 months, with the majority of deaths occurring in children younger than 3 months old. Most infant deaths can be prevented by early administration of antibiotics and good supportive care. At the turn of the 20th century, when Bordetella pertussis was isolated, the United States was afflicted with high rates of severe disease and infant mortality, especially among the urban poor. However, by the year 1946, 2 years before the era of mass vaccination began, pertussis mortality had fallen to 1,241 deaths out of the U.S. population of 144.3 million. Prior to mass vaccination, it is estimated that all boys and girls experienced pertussis infection during their childhood years. Provided they survived, they developed robust immunity. Because passive immunity to pertussis is conferred to an infant through the mother's placenta and breast milk, the mother's health and immunity to pertussis are important factors in protecting the infant during the first 6 months of life, when it is most vulnerable to severe disease. Thus, general improvements of the health and nutrition of American girls played a significant role in the dramatic reduction of pertussis mortality prior to 1948. Following the introduction of mass vaccination in 1948, reported cases of pertussis dramatically and steadily reduced until the late 1970s. However, starting in the early 1980s, reported cases began to rise, suggesting a resurgence of the disease. A debate ensued about the causes of the resurgence. Some argued that the pathogen had continued to circulate among adolescents and adults just as it had during the pre-vaccination era, but had simply gone undetected because the disease is mild in adults and easily confused with other respiratory infections. Others argued that the surge of reported cases in high schools indicated that it was due to a change in infection patterns and not merely better diagnostics. A 2005 review of published data on duration of pertussis immunity revealed that natural pertussis infection could produce immunity lasting up to 20 years, while immunity induced by the pertussis acellular vaccine lasts up to 12 years. This raised the concern that while childhood vaccination protected girls from pertussis infection, it prevented them from acquiring the more lasting immunity conferred by the infection, that is, natural immunity that would be passed on to their infants. The CDC responded to this by recommending, in 2012, the Tdap vaccine, containing an acellular pertussis vaccine for pregnant women in their third trimester. The whole cell vaccine developed in 1939 was not recommended for pregnant women. Though the overall case fatality rate of pertussis is low, the disease still presents a significant burden because patients may suffer convulsive coughing for multiple months. A safe and effective pertussis vaccine is therefore desirable. In 1939, Pearl Kendrick, Grace Eldering, and Loney Gordon developed a whole-cell inactivated vaccine that was incorporated into the DPT shot with aluminum adjuvants in 1948. While this shot was apparently effective at reducing the incidence of whooping cough, it caused relatively rare but significant side effects, including prolonged crying, high fever, febrile convulsions, and hypotonic hyper-responsive episodes. In some cases, these side effects seemed to produce permanent brain damage, which resulted in multiple lawsuits in the United States and Great Britain during the 1970s and early 1980s. With mounting costs arising from whole-cell pertussis vaccine litigation, American vaccine producers successfully lobbied Congress and President Reagan to pass the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986, granting them liability protection. Pro-vaccine propagandists in the United States and Great Britain have vehemently insisted that there was no link between encephalopathy and the whole cell pertussis vaccine. But public health authorities in Japan and Sweden considered the evidence concerning enough to pause administration of the shot. In Japan, Yuji Sato and his team developed an acellular pertussis vaccine in 1974 that seemed to be safer, and it replaced the whole cell pertussis vaccine on the Japanese immunization schedule. In Sweden, pertussis immunization was paused in 1979 and resumed in 1996 with an acellular vaccine. Pro-vaccine propagandists have written about the increase of reported pertussis cases in Sweden during the immunization pause. Rarely do they mention that only 3 children died of the illness during this 17-year period, 2 of whom had severe congenital disabilities. The passage of the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act of 1986 presented what has struck many observers as a paradox. Vaccine manufacturers insisted that their products were safe while also insisting that it was impossible to make them safe for everyone. Some vaccine recipients will, in rare cases, be injured or killed by the shots. Vaccine manufacturers argued that such injuries are the regrettable but necessary price for the larger number of children protected by the vaccines from severe illnesses. This resembles the greater good logic applied to young soldiers who are severely wounded or die defending their country from foreign adversaries. To be sure, trade-offs lie at the heart of the human condition, and every individual and society must frequently make them. Most major technological advances have come with prices that are easy to understand and accept. Vaccines, starting with the smallpox vaccine, became a peculiar and controversial technology, primarily because various states made receiving them compulsory. Today's vaccines are controversial because states have mandated them for children to attend public school and because of the liability protection granted to their manufacturers. These controversies have been aggravated by the fact that pharmaceutical companies have, in many documented instances, understated or obscured the risk of their products. Civil and criminal courts have repeatedly found Pfizer and Merck guilty of fraudulently concealing safety data and making false claims about their products. Notable examples include Pfizer's Bextra and Merck's Vioxx.